G'day, I'm Pastor Matt Teeley, and this is the start of a sermon series on the basics of prayer. Every so often, it's good to go back to basics. In fact, I reckon I could just spend my whole life only doing the basics, because without them, everything else is a mess. And the ancient word for basics is catechism. Catechism is basic teaching. And one of the most basic teachings of faith is prayer. In fact, I think it's the most basic activity of faith, and I think the difference between having faith and not having faith often boils down to prayer. If you don't pray, you may say you believe, but you're a virtual atheist. And if you do pray, you may think you don't believe, but the fact that you pray says otherwise. So prayer is the most basic difference between atheism and faith. And the most basic activity of faith is prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is how we learn to pray. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us the most basic things about prayer. And so I'm going to start each week with some old words, 500-year-old words, from Martin Luther, from his basic teaching. This is how it goes, and you might like to read it out loud with me. Our Father in heaven. What does this mean? With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that He is our true Father and that we are His true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask God as dear children ask their dear Father. So let's talk about prayer, and let's talk about how to start. Do you remember learning to ride a bike? I do. Once you're up and going, it's not so bad. The hardest bit is getting and staying vertical. The hardest bit is simply starting. And I think prayer is often like that. Once we're up and rolling, it tends to roll on. But first, we have to start. So how do we start prayer? How do we get started? I've heard lots of amazing different ways that people pray, and we shouldn't judge them. But I want to ask you, what are some ways that people start prayer? You might like to pause the video now and think about this for yourself or discuss it with somebody. What are some ways that people start prayer? At my most recent church, the young ones used to always start prayer with, "Hey God, what are some examples of ways that people start prayer? And what is your favorite way to start?" Just take a moment to think or discuss. You might like to pause now. So we've discussed some ways that people start. But when we look at the Lord's Prayer, it's most important to first know, how did they start in Jesus' day? Because once we understand how they started prayer back then we'll start to see how radical the Lord's Prayer actually is. So I'll show you five common prayers from back then and see if you can notice the common start. Here's a prayer for lighting their Sabbath day candles. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has made us holy with the commandments. Here's a prayer for hand washing. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has commanded the washing of hands. A prayer for thanks when drinking wine. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. Can you notice a pattern, a kind of a logic to it? Here's a prayer of thanks for fruit. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the tree. And finally, a prayer for after eating. Do you remember people used to actually pray after their meal as well as before? They used to give thanks after. And here's the prayer, one of the prayers in Jesus' day. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sustains the entire world with goodness, kindness, and mercy. You see, they knew there was a proper way to start prayer, and they almost always started the same way. Can you see how they started? Yes, it was Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe. And this is how Jewish people mostly started prayer back then, and still do. It's a very formal and proper start. It's actually not unsimilar to the way that Islamic people also start their prayer. It starts with reverence and awe and fear. It starts with the greatness of God. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's quite common to hear prayers in our churches started this way too, starting with God's greatness and how far above us God is. And that's certainly true, but there's a downside to starting this way because it emphasizes the distance between us and God, and it suggests maybe that God can't be talked to without the right words, or without big words, without the right language, or that we can't come to God without some sort of elaborate ritual or preparation. This is how prayer was started back then, 2,000 years ago, and often is now. But when Jesus taught them to pray, he gave them something radically different. What start did Jesus give? Say it with me. Luke 11:12. Jesus said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven.'" No great glorious words, no bowing and scraping, no elaborate ritual, just this: "Our Father in heaven." This is much simpler, it's much closer, and we're just going to look at the first two words, just the very first two words of this prayer, because they teach us so much, and those two words are "Our Father." Let's start with the first one, "Our." Notice Jesus didn't say, "When you pray, start with my, or me, or I." Not that it's ever wrong to talk about yourself in prayer. That's an important and intimate part of prayer, is to come as me. But in this prayer, when they asked him how to pray, Jesus said, "Don't start with me, start with us." Let's just go through the whole Lord's Prayer together really quickly, except for the ending. And if you would, yell out with me the words that are in bold. Ready? "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." It's almost monotonous. Jesus doesn't give us a me prayer, but a we prayer. Now, when you pray, it is not wrong to say me. And it's not wrong to pray alone. In fact, it's essential. Jesus assumed that we would pray alone and taught us how to pray in secret. But when he teaches us prayer, the basics, he teaches us to pray together, because Jesus assumes that our relationship with God is not something we can do on our own. If you can't start prayer, how do you start? Start with somebody else. Start with others. Start in a group. Ask someone to pray for you or with you. Ask someone else to give you a jump start. Join in with others. Realize that there is power in prayer together. That's the first basic we learn from the Lord's Prayer. The second word was Father. Now, when Jesus suggested that we start prayer this way, it was explosive and confronting, and it caused conflict, but not for a reason that you may think. In our modern world, many of us have problem with the world with the word Father. We view the word Father as negative, because there've been abusive fathers here on this earth. And it's also, we see this word as a very male and gendered word. And fair enough if you have those concerns. That was not Jesus' intent. He was not here to gender God for you. Maybe rather than focusing on earthly parents here, mums and dads and their deficiencies, focus on the other side of the coin, what it means to be adopted as someone's own, to be cherished by them. Do you have someone in your family who you're not related to, but they are? They're your uncle, your dad, your mum. You call them papa. In many cultures, this is the way. And this is what Jesus was getting at. You see how formal all those ancient prayers were. You know, Baruch atah Elohim Adonai, Melech haolam. Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe. But today, Jesus says, just come simply and intimately with papa. Abba, Father. You know, at the time of Jesus, they had many, many prayers. Prayer was a public part of their life. And they had a book of prayer, 150 prayers. What was that called? The Psalms. And the Psalms were their standard prayers. The Psalms were their catechism on how to pray, their basics. 150 prayers is a lot. Guess how many of their Psalms, guess how many of the prayers in their prayer manual started with Father, or My Father, or Our Father? How many started with Father? None. Absolutely none. Not one started this way. So when Jesus said, start by calling God Father, this was radical. It wasn't just simple, it was intimate. No prayer, no psalm, I mean, ever started by calling God My Father. In the entire book of Psalms, in fact, you can only find God addressed this way two times, and those two are very special. Those two, in Psalm 2 and Psalm 89, are what they call messianic psalms. They are psalms about the coming king. They are prophetic. They are a prophecy and prediction that a king would come in the line of David, a great Messiah, and only he would be able to call God My Father. And God would call him My Son. Only twice in the Psalms do we find this used, and it's used to say and quote the way the Anointed One, the Messiah, will speak. So if only the king could say this, only the Messiah, imagine the response of the religious leaders when Jesus started to call God My Father. They were upset and offended. Just look at it in John chapter 10. Jesus calls God My Father. And the religious leaders are upset because they know this is far too intimate and close. We don't speak of God this way. It drove them crazy because it was a claim to be the Messiah, the chosen one. And they wanted to kill him for it. And now Jesus comes to teach us to pray. And see what he says? He doesn't say, come as a worm or a servant or a slave. Come as a humble nothing. He says, when you start, say what I say. Here in this prayer, Jesus literally gives us the right to come to God with the simple intimacy that only he has. He literally says, call My Papa your Papa. Call My Father your Father. He's giving you a right to speak as he does. So Jesus is literally leaning in close and saying something like this. Listen, you're going to need help with this one. I know you don't feel confident to pray, so I'm going to lift you right up next to my throne. I am the Messiah King. And I'll lift you up right up here with me for a moment, and my life will open up something new for you. And I know that you don't feel you have the right, but trust me, I share with you my birthright, my place before God. You can call My Father your Father. Jesus literally says, when you pray, pray like the King. Pray with the King. I have two adult children. One thing I absolutely love about our relationship is their access. They have access to me and their mum. They just barge into our bedroom whenever they like. They flop down on the bed. These mature, wise, intelligent, accomplished adults. They just flop down onto our bed and start to talk to mum. They don't ask permission. They don't entreat carefully. They just come and flop down and talk to mum and dad just as they want. And they go on and on and on. Love it. And here Jesus is saying, when you pray, just barge into God's room. Barge in with simple trust and say anything you want. Because the Lord's Prayer, it's a king's prayer and it's given to you. It's not a wimpy, groveling prayer. It's not coming as a slave. It's not sucking up to God with long and beautiful words. It's not praying as if God's far away and distant. And it's not praying as if God won't listen. It's literally barging in and flopping down on God's bed and saying, here I am. This is the gift of the King's Prayer. It's given to those who humbly say to Jesus, I'm yours. And Jesus says, and my birthright is yours. This is Christ's gift to us, that we start prayer as a beloved child would to a good parent. We come chosen and anointed and loved. We start with boldness and confidence because Jesus won that for us. So in Christ, we pray with the King. Amen.